Well, good morning. Did you guys have a good week? Yeah? How many had a good week? Wonderful. We're not going to ask who had a bad week, all right? Just a good week. Well, we are so glad you're here. We want you to know three things. Number one, God loves you. Isn't that right, church? Number two, Cross Point Church loves you. Thirdly, I love you, but of those three things, the one that will never let you down is God, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and we're so glad that you're here today. Well, why don't we take a break from the music and the announcements and the mic change, and, you know, Scott was kind of funny. While he was changing this, he said, why don't you tell some jokes? And I said, Scott, I don't have a microphone. He goes, oh, that's right. Sound guys, you know. But anyway, all right, I tell you what, why don't we stand? Kind of, you know, when you're in seminars, I don't know if you ever go to seminars, but, you know, sometimes I go to seminars and they'll have you stand and kind of stretch out a little bit. And so just kind of, you know, we've been sitting for a while. So let's pray. And then we're going to do something great today. You know what that is? We're going to hear what God has for us. And we're going to hear from the Bible. So it doesn't get much better than that. So let's pray. Our God, we come this morning thanking you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus. And God, as now we turn our hearts and minds toward the Bible, we ask that you'd give us open minds, clear minds. God, help all of us, including myself, to not be distracted. And I know many people have a busy upcoming week. I get it. I'm sure there's a lot of stressful meetings people are looking forward to and how to deal with that and what to say. And God, I just pray that for this next 30 minutes that you'd help us to really focus. Help us to stay off the internet and Facebook during church and text. God, just help us for 30 minutes to listen to what you have to say to us. We love you today, and we're so thankful that you love us. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin by asking an unusual question, and I don't want anybody to raise their hand, all right? This is a rhetorical question. We don't want to embarrass anyone. I've started all three lessons different. You know, if you go back, if you really have trouble sleeping, go on Facebook tonight and listen to all three sermons, and they'll all be different, all right? And you'll be asleep by probably before the first one's over, for sure. But if you make it through all three, you'll see they're different. But I want to ask you a question. No hands, no embarrassment. Have you ever been so drunk you didn't know what you were doing? It's interesting in this text that drunkenness is used in contrast to being filled with the Spirit. Now think about that. What does drunkenness have to do with being filled with the Spirit? Well, we're going to talk about that. And these are the verses that we're going to look at this morning. We finished the other three verses last week. We kind of ended up on the will of God. But I think for sake of time, we're just going to pass that and move right into this, because I think this is very important for us today. In Ephesus, a couple of thousand years ago, we find that people were going to the temple, what we would call church, and there they would have physical relationships with temple prostitutes. Not only were they having regular physical activity with temple prostitutes, now this was the way they worshiped, but they also would inform others to join and have group relationships, and at the same time, they would get completely drunk. So drunkenness, sexual immorality were all intertwined in worshiping their false gods. Now, think of that for just a moment. I mean, that's, you know, from my perspective, that's kind of bad, isn't it? Now, in fairness to the people that were doing it, we have to give them a little bit of understanding because that's all they knew. I mean, you only know what you know. Isn't that true? So they were worshiping their God in this way. And then we find Paul spends, about 3 years in Ephesus, preaches the gospel. Many of those Ephesians that were in the city of Ephesus receive Christ, and they come out of that horrific lifestyle, sexual orgies, drunkenness, you can just imagine. And we find that he's going to give us a contrast between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit. Now, he's already given us a couple. Last week, he talked about being wise and unwise, the contrast. Earlier on, he talked about light and darkness. Remember, we said that we are not in the dark. Actually, we were so far away from God, we were dark. We were the dark. And then, of course, through Christ, we became light. Also, you might remember from our study, if you've been around a few weeks, that in chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul tells the Ephesians, now that you've come out of that debauchery, we want you to live worthy or walk worthy in the manner of which you've been called. So because of your salvation, being called out of that lifestyle, receiving Christ as your Savior, we want you to walk worthy to bring honor to God. Then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says something else that is very convicting. It is to me. It may not be to you. But he says, I want you to be imitators of God. Imitators of God. And then I thought about the Apostle Paul who wrote those words. He himself, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, follow me as I follow God. In other words, be an imitator of me as I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ, of God himself. And those are very challenging words because of the depth of spirituality someone would have to say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. The reality is that's really the same challenge that Paul gives in the verses that we're going to look at today and actually through the rest of chapter 6 and verse 9. So for those of you that have been drunk before, I think you would agree with some of the following points. First of all, if you're not familiar, pharmacologically, alcohol is really a depressant, not a stimulant. I mean, it is a stimulant for a short while, but then it becomes a quick depressant. Something else I think those of you that have been in that state would agree with me is you do not have full use of your faculties. You're not in full control of what you say, of what you do, who you're with, where you've been, and oftentimes the next morning, you don't remember a lot that's taken place. You have some glimpses, but you don't really understand everything that was going on. In other words, when you're in that stupor, you're not thinking clearly. We say and do things that we regret. Don't raise your hand. But if you've ever been drunk, have you ever done something you regretted? Don't raise your hand, right? Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Sadly, many careers have been ruined because of drunkenness. Many lives have been lost because of drunkenness. Many people have been maimed because of drunkenness. And every day on the news, you can see it every single day, that drunkenness has created havoc with certain people. With families, friends, associates, work, etc. So what are we saying about drunkenness? What is Paul saying? He's saying that if someone is drunk, they are not in control. They are under the influence of alcohol. We all would agree with that. So what he says is, do not get into this drunken state because that is debauchery. And all of you that are in Ephesus that have come out of that lifestyle, that are now reading this letter, understand exactly what I'm talking about. Because that was their life before they came to Christ. That's the way they worshiped. They would have connected the dots. Because some people read Ephesians 5:18 and they go, why would Paul talk about being drunk and talk about being filled with the Spirit? Because we have to remember the audience that he's talking to. He's talking to an audience that their worship was drunkenness. Not their activities, but their worship. Honey, I'm going to church. I'm going to be with the prostitutes and get drunk. That's the way it was. Now, we have a hard time connecting those dots, don't we? Because that's not part of our culture. So Paul knew that. the people coming out of that knew that. And so that is why he uses this contrast. Drunkenness represents, or it's a mark of foolishness and darkness. Being filled with the Spirit are marks of walking in the light and walking in wisdom that we've already taught up to this point. Now, this passage is not a passage on whether someone can drink alcohol. That's for another lesson. That isn't what this is about. This is a contrast of drunkenness in regards and in reference to walking with the Lord in the Spirit. Paul's message here is religious. It's not moral. He's trying to make a religious contrast. Your religion is bad. It's not good for you. The Holy Spirit and walking in that part of religious life is good for you. Yes, we know that's not moral, but that is not Paul's point. His point is religious in this context, in these three verses. And when we think of that, we have to answer some questions. But before we answer some questions, we need to understand what walking in the Spirit can do for someone. Walking in the Spirit, you say, well, what is that? We're going to get there. Walking in the Spirit, with the Spirit living in us, will help us in our daily lives to make better decisions. It will help us to live peacefully amongst people. And most of all, it glorifies God. So I want you to think about that as we begin to ask some questions. So question number one is, what does it mean, Jerry, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, we hear a lot of things today about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to do A and B and C. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I would share with you that at the moment of salvation, when a person prays and repents of their sin, and they invite Christ into their life, they are immediately baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For in one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body." What body? The body of Christ. And then Paul goes on and he says, "Jews and Gentiles, slaves or free." Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, "For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So when we come to Christ, we are baptized in Christ, as we learn in the first three chapters of Ephesians. We've put on Christ. However, we want to walk in a way in which we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that indwells us when we put our faith in Christ. It's somewhat like this. God the Father sent the Son to live a perfect life, to give his life, and to die for the sins of the world. In fact, he said clearly, "I'm going to go, and when I go, I'm going to send you a comforter." He tells us that in the book of John. And that comforter, he says, will guide you, will teach you, will forgive you. And that one he's talking about, that comforter, is the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You say, well, where's Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us right now at this moment, Jesus is not in us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit that is in us. Now, technically, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in us because the Holy Spirit is God. So we can say God dwells in us. But theologically and practically, God the Father and God the Son are in heaven. They're not in us. The Holy Spirit of God is in us, which is part of the Godhead. Remember, the Trinity is one being, God, represented in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Very, very good. Three separate persons. You have to understand some basics to understand what I'm going to teach you this morning as we jump into this. The idea that Paul is teaching us is this is not a one-time filling. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, when we think about filling something up, filling up a cup of water, there it's full. Good, we're good to go. Or filling up our gas tank. That's not what we're talking about. Being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing process in which we are always journeying on being filled. And the idea is filled is not pouring water into a glass to fill the glass or filling our gas tank with gas to fill our tank. It has the idea of the following. It has the idea of being filled through or permeated by the Holy Spirit's influence. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about influence, not about filling up from, you know, a quarter of a tank to a full tank or a quarter of a glass to a full glass. Do you understand the difference? We're not talking about that. We're talking about being permeated with the influence of the Holy Spirit. As someone who's involved in drunkenness is permeated through being influenced by that life of debauchery, as Paul said, in the same way you're under control of that, when you are filled with the Spirit, you are under control of the Spirit of God. You understand the contrast? Very simple when we stop and we think about it. So this idea of being filled with the Spirit, it's not filled up, but filled through. Now, as we think about this filling, how can I be filled with the Spirit, Pastor Jerry? I mean, I want to serve God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to live a strong Christian life. I understand that I need to be permeated. I need to be totally influenced by the Holy Spirit. But how do I do that? Well, that's why we're here today. And here's what I'm going to share with you. Now, I'm going to share with you some things this morning that are going to be very direct. Some of the things, quite honestly, you may not really appreciate. But I promise you, everything you hear is coming right out of the Bible. Every word that I'm going to share with you this morning is coming out of the Bible. So Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. Don't live like your old life. But from now on, because the Holy Spirit lives within you, and you've been baptized into Christ, and Christ sent the Holy Spirit when you prayed into your life, he says, I want you to be permeated with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? Well, we see in these verses, verses 19 of chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 9, he tells us how to do that. Now, as I speak this morning, you need to decide, am I filled with the Spirit? And if I'm not filled with the Spirit, what do I need to do to get filled with the Spirit? And thirdly, do I want to be filled or do I want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit? I can't answer those questions. You have to answer those questions yourself. I would hope that every Christian this morning would say in their own life, Pastor Jerry, I want to be influenced. I want to be permeated. I want to be filled through with God in my life. Amen? Isn't that our goal? Are you sure? Here we go. All right, here we go. First of all, he says, you are to address one another. That has the idea of public worship. Christians are together, just like we are this morning. That we ought to be singing with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Not your voice, because you haven't heard me sing. It'd be atrocious. But as I sing, I'm making a joyful noise, thank God, only to God, because it's not joyful to you. In fact, I don't even like to hear myself sing. But you know what's weird when I sing, just like when you sing? I think, you know, that's not too bad. And then I come to church on Sunday and, gee, I hear Trevor and Emily and Megan and Nick, and I think, Jerry, you're really bad. But you know what? It's not my voice God wants. He wants my heart. Isn't that right? He wants our heart. So what does he say? Somebody that is influenced by the Holy Spirit will have a song in their heart and they will sing. Now, if you're here this morning and you come to church and you sit and you go, well, I hate this music and I don't sing and that's stupid, and I love you enough to tell you, you're not filled with the Spirit. Did I say that or did Paul say that? It's not a trick question. Paul said that. Why does he say that? Because if the Holy Spirit's in your heart, you have a song to sing. And you know, the people around you where you sit, and even where I sit, some people sound really good, and some people, like, grab the cotton balls, right? But thank God, they're singing. He says, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll sing. Second of all, he says, you'll give thanks. And how often do we give thanks? Always, and for what, church? Read it with me. Everything. You say, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, first of all, you can do that if you're filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Well, just hang on. I'm showing some results of being filled with the Spirit. Singing, being thankful, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow. I didn't know there was this much stuff to this filling thing. Let me put it to you this way. Did you know that Jesus Christ submitted to the Father? He said, not my will, but your will. Don't you think if God himself can submit to the Father, don't you think that we could submit to one another? I think we can. In fact, I know we can. I want you to think of somebody who's joyful. And when you're around that person, you will say things like, oh my goodness, they are just filled with joy. Well, you can't be filled with joy because joy is not tangible. What it means is they're permeated, right, with joy. I mean, all through them, they're just full of joy. Joy, 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 right? And then if there's somebody that's angry or anger, and they're just angry, and you say, boy, that person is filled with anger. Well, once again, anger is not tangible. You can't put it in a bottle. What does it mean? It means they are permeated through with anger. In that sense, as the person that is joyful and angry are controlled and influenced by their emotions, in the same way, we ought to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. As we move on from verses 21 through chapter 6, verse 9, he continues to lay out for us what a Spirit-filled person looks like. First of all, a Spirit-filled person is what? They're a person that sings, they're a person that's thankful, they're a person who submits. You say, well, I don't do any of those things, Pastor Jerry. That's why you're here, and that's why I'm teaching. Because you need to be, for you, for the Lord, and for those that are around you. So, how can I be filled? But before I give you the rest of the list that are in the rest of this chapter, next chapter, here we go. We must be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit every single day. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means the following. When we get up in the morning, whatever we do, wherever we go, we wake up saying the following: God, I submit, I surrender, number one, my will to you. My will is what I want. We ought to submit our wills to what God wants. Second of all, we submit our minds. Third, our bodies. Fourth, our time. Fifth, our talents and treasures. And sixth, I'll wrap it up with this statement. Every single area of our life ought to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Every time I make a decision, every time I talk to a person, every time I'm in that business deal, every time I'm in that very uncomfortable situation, I ought to be submitting myself, my will, my wants, to what God wants, and submitting through whatever that might look like in your life and my life, that God is glorified. Because if God is not glorified, then we've lost. So how are we doing so far? You'd say, I think I've got some work to do. I do too. Welcome to the club. We all do. There's nobody perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. Submitting ourselves to being filled with the Spirit, to being permeated, to be totally influenced by the Spirit is a purposeful act. It is absolutely anything that distracts us from God, we need to turn away from. Entertainment? Who knows? Maybe some friendships? I don't know what that looks like. Maybe you need a different job? I don't know. All I know is this, that Satan will do his best to distract us from submitting ourselves to God. That's his full-time job. He does not want you to live a spiritual life. He wants you to come to church, praise God you're here, but he wants you to walk out the door and just be like everybody else. That's not being filled with the Spirit. That's not what it's about. What do we do when we sin? We all sin. I sin. You sin. This isn't hard. If we're filled with the Spirit, as soon as we sin, we admit it to God. God, I sin. Man. Second of all, we ask God to forgive us. God, forgive me. I've sinned. Thirdly, if we've sinned against a person, we contact that person right away and say, look, I just want you to know, you know, early this morning when I talked to you, I was really harsh with you. I had a bad attitude. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's being filled with the Spirit. If you're here this morning and you're holding a grudge, you're not filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Spirit and influenced by the Holy Spirit if you hate someone or you're holding a grudge or you've got something against someone. That's not the way it works. Doesn't work that way. So what happens when you're filled? What does it look like? Well, we've given you three things. But we need to understand that this is intensely practical. This is not theoretical. This is not some high something in the sky. Being filled with the Spirit is lived out intensely practical. Paul gives us that in the following verses that Pastor Adam and I will start teaching on next week. And I'm going to give them to you so you can be thinking about it. Here we go. Verse number 22 of chapter 5. That's the next verse. We're not going to teach on it. I'm just going to reference it. If you ladies are filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that you will submit to your husbands. Well, I don't want to submit to him. Ah, rah, 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 rah. You're not filled with the Spirit. That's what it says. Paul gives us the list. Now, you guys say, well, she ought to submit. Ah, rah, rah, rah. Well, okay, let's talk to us. If men are filled with the Spirit, they will love their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, let me ask you a question. You can answer this one. This isn't rhetorical. How did Christ love the church? What did he do for the church? He died. Whoever said that gets a star by their name. I don't know who it was. He died for the church. You know what I found? Over a few years of being in ministry, this isn't 100% always true, but I can say it's the high majority true. When a man truly loves his wife as Christ loved the church, his wife will want to submit to his leadership. She'll want to, yeah. You know, when I have women in the office and they're going through a rough spot, or maybe they're single and they've gone through a divorce, or their husband's left them, or they've broken up, or here's, I don't know how many times I've heard this. Pastor, you know what I want? Here's all I want. I want a man who loves me and will put God first. If I've heard that one time, I've heard it 1,000 times. I said, what about being rich? He goes, I'm not into rich. What about if does he need to be really good looking? No, but that helps. But no, no. I mean, some of the ladies I've seen with rich, ugly guys, I mean, it's like, but you know what? They care about them. They love them. And then I see guys, I mean, they're ugly. And their wife is like a supermodel. And I'm thinking, what am I missing? You know, where did I go? You know, what's going on here? But you ladies, you know I'm telling the truth. You just want somebody to love you. And almost, because I know there's exceptions, but almost every woman I've talked to in the last 41 years have said, I'll live in a shack with a man that loves me. That's a fact. What's the point? Wives have no problem submitting if their husband loves them. In fact, they will want to submit because that's the creative order. Not submit as a slave. I'm not talking about that. But the reality of it is, ultimately, in the home, somebody has to make the final decision. And a wife, after talking to her husband, if they are both filled with the Spirit, and he's loving her like he should, and she's submitting like she should, they will come to a conclusion where maybe they disagree or not, and for the most part, the wife will say, well, honey, why don't you go ahead and make the decision? That's what I'm talking about. I didn't say it, Paul did. Why did he say that? Because in Ephesus, do you think a woman's going to love his wife and run to the temple prostitutes and get drunk? No. Of course not. Do you think a wife is going to submit to somebody doing that? No. Context, context, context. So he says, if you both are permeated with the Holy Spirit, and if you love the right way and you reverence the right way, and you both, as the Bible says, submit to one another, then God is glorified. And I'm convinced, I am absolutely convinced, that if couples would submit to one another, we'd have a lot more happy homes in our churches. There'd be a lot less fighting. There'd be a lot less divorce. And I know some of these things can't be helped. I get all of that. But a lot of reason we have these problems is because we're bullheaded. We want our way. What was the first thing I said? Submit our will. Have it your way. What difference does it make? But it does. Why? Because we're influenced by what we want, not what the Holy Spirit wants. He goes on to say, children, honor their parents. He says, parents, bring up your children in the teaching of the Lord. He goes on to say, employee, obey your employer and work hard. He says that in chapter 6, verse 5. Look, I work here and I have a lot of problems with the boss myself. Right? We all do. Employers, those of you that employ people, this is chapter 6, verse 9. Do you treat them right? Do you abuse them?
You pray for them. You encourage them. You affirm them. Do you walk by them and not speak to them? I hope not, if you're an employer. In a parallel passage in Colossians 3, it says this, in verse 16 and 17, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Here it is, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And then verse 17, this is a big one. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And whatever you do, you say, Jerry, what does that mean? It means, and whatever you do, that's what it means. In word, how we speak, in deed, our actions, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. Now you think, now you say, how am I going to do that, Jerry? The only way that you're going to have a chance at all of doing that is to be permeated and influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. That's it. It's the only way. Question is, do you want to? I can't answer that for you. I hope you do. I hope you do. Being truly spiritual. Here's one line I'm going to share. I could have done this 30 minutes ago and we could have closed in prayer. Being truly spiritual, in other words, being filled with the Spirit, is being true to Christ, yielding to Him every day, and living a lifestyle, that lifestyle that never ends. It's an ongoing journey. Because with Christ, we continue in our spiritual walk in sanctification, drawing closer to Christ every single day. That's the goal. That is the absolute goal. It's a process also of renewing our minds. The Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to think differently. That happens through the Holy Spirit permeating us. And then three closing statements, 15 seconds each. Here it is. Our minds are transformed and trained by the truths of the Word of God. Number two, our hearts are stirred by the teaching of the Word of God. And thirdly, our wills are subdued by the constant explanation of God's Word. I'll say this because I love you. I really do love you. If I didn't love you, I'd just come up and just sing Kumbaya, have a few points on love God and, you know, love nature, and let's all go home. But I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I will say this, that if you do not take this book and somehow get it into your life, you can never be filled with the Spirit of God. And I know what some of you are thinking, well, I hate to read. Okay, fine, I get it. Get your phone, download a Bible app, and listen to it. In the old days, I would tell people who didn't like to read, I'll tell you what, well, why don't you get some cassette tapes, right? Right? Some of you young people looking at me kind of strange. What's a cassette tape? Google it. What are you saying, Pastor Jerry? What I'm saying is we can live our lives out through the power and the filling of the Spirit of God only by what we put in. And when I find myself in situations, oftentimes I refer to a story in the Bible or a certain passage in the Bible. And I go, yeah, that's right, that will help me. So as you leave today, as you think about these things, and as we talk about these things in the weeks to come, I don't bow out. As my dad used to say with his Missouri accent, don't be scared. And when he was tired, he'd say, Junior, I'm teared. Listen, we ought to want to grow closer to God. And my life has always been one, tell me what it takes. I don't care what it takes. When I go to the dentist, give me the shot. I don't care what it feels. I need my tooth fixed. And God loves you enough to give you a book. And he loves me enough to give me a book where I can take it. And as the prophet in the Old Testament talked about, eating the Bible. Read it. Listen to it. Meditate upon it. And over time, if you learn what Jesus taught and you begin to follow his commands, you will begin to slowly live a life of someone who is filled with the Spirit, totally influenced by God. You know, think about how cool that would be, being totally influenced by God. Now, we're never going to get there 100% because we're human. But, you know, 50% is better than 10%, wouldn't you agree? 80% is better than 30%. The question we have to answer is, do we want to? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. I want to. I want to so I can be a better pastor for you because I love you. I want what's best for your lives. I want what's best for your families. I want you to enjoy what God has given us. And we can only do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to permeate us and influence our daily decisions every single day. Amen? Amen. Father, go with us today. Thank you for the Bible. It's challenging at times. It's cutting at times. But God, it's medicine that we need. And Lord, I pray that we would take your words this morning from the Word of God and apply them to our lives and help us to answer that question. Am I filled with the Spirit? And do I want to be filled by the Spirit? And God, I pray that all of us, including myself, would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God, give us a great afternoon. Bring us back at a next appointed time. And we thank you so much for loving us and giving us eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.